Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Welcome to the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart and producer Vin is here.
Hello.
You ready for the Christmas period, Vin?
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. It's just what we need, isn't it? Because we haven't been out enough this year.
Yeah, exactly. It's an excuse to drink indoors.
Well, that's it. You know, we've spent about 10 months of the year drinking outdoors, regardless of the temperature.
Exactly.
Time now to reward ourselves with indoor boozing. Welcome to the Evening Show podcast. As I say, I'm Gordon Smart. And on the podcast this week, I've got a classic album chat, one we loved about Suede. Vin, you got really into it, didn't you?
Yeah, I always thought I preferred the first two Suede albums. But the third one coming up is excellent.
Well, Dogman Star always holds a special place.
Yeah, that's sort of the cult one, isn't it?
It is the cult one, but coming up is magical.
It's brilliant. Some of the singles on that.
I couldn't believe it when we went back through the track listing.
It's amazing, yeah.
Outstanding. Bit of Stereophonics chat as well, and some other bits and bobs for you to enjoy. Please get involved and enjoy.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
You're listening to The Evening Show here on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart and I'm thrilled to say we have another brilliant comedian in the studio tonight. Andy Zoltzman is here. Andy, welcome.
Hello, Gordon.
Andy, I heard so much about you over the years. It's the first time we've met Andy. I was hoping it would be on a football pitch, but here we are in a studio.
Well, a studio will have to do.
We'll have to do.
I can kick a football around if that would help, but you've got some quite pricey looking equipment here. So
I'd like to see that happen, actually. Yeah, because I've done a little bit of research on your footballing abilities
with
some of our fellow hosts here at Radio X. And you play regularly with Ellis and John, who have the Saturday show here.
Yes.
So, Andy, we'll come back to Ellis and John's footballing abilities later on, and maybe a critique of yours as well from them.
Okay.
But you are here because you're working just around the corner at the moment. You've got a show on at Leicester Square Theatre. Tell us all about it.
It's Soho Theatre.
Is it the Soho Theatre? So the posher one around the corner?
Yeah. But yes, it's a theatre in the Leicester Square stroke Soho area.
Dean Street. Let's be specific. Right,
yes. It's a show called Andy Zoltzman's 2017, The Certifiable History, in which I attempt to sort of sum up the year 2017 in a one-hour stand-up show. And, well, there's been, frankly, too much stuff going on this year. So I've looked back 700 years instead to 1317, when, according to Wikipedia, there were only 4 events in the world.
Really?
And I just figured if we could only have 4 events each year today, I think we'd be a more relaxed, happier planet. So I'm trying to pick out the 4 events to pass down to history.
Of those 4 events, were any of them of any interest?
Well, there was quite a lively event in which the Swedish king imprisoned 2 of his brothers and starved them to death over Christmas. So if any of you listeners think you have a bit of an awkward family Christmas, that is nothing on the Swedish monarchy in 1317.
So Andy's Oldsman show, full of Christmas cheer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Andy, I should have said at the very beginning, you're a political satirist and you get brilliant reviews as well. I've seen some incredible stuff said about you, that you're actually the best political satirist out there.
Well, reviews have to be taken with an absolute ocean of salt. I guess it's nice when people say nice things, even if that's ridiculously over the top.
Somebody said something great to me the other day, that you should weigh your reviews rather than read them. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, that would be good. And then you could just print out loads of copies of the bad ones and cheat the system. So that's all about.
So this show's got a new show, right?
Yes.
And at the moment, you're kind of fine-tuning it. And is this for a tour next year that you're going to go and take on the road?
This show sort of has an end date of the 6th of January, which is the last show I'm doing at Soho. So, yeah, I'm sort of putting it together. It's mostly sort of new material, obviously, with the nature of the show. And then I'm doing a different show on tour next year. So, frankly, I'm that's bad planning on my part, to be honest.
So what you're telling me is you're making life difficult for yourself.
Yes. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Trying to spoil Christmas as much as you can.
Yes. Yeah, other than the England cricket team's doing that for me, frankly, so I don't need to do it myself.
But there's another thing, you know, producer Vin here is a massive cricket fan.
Congratulations, Vin, that is the correct way to run your life.
Thank you.
Yep.
He's been coming in pretty sleepy over the last few weeks. Have you been doing the same thing, burning the candle at both ends, staying up all night, watching your team lose terribly?
Staying up most of the night, and then even when you go to sleep, you have these horrible waking nightmares. So it's a tough life being an England cricket fan at the moment.
Could be worse, Andy. You could be a Scotland football fan.
Yes, I guess. Yes, there is that. There's always someone worse off than you in life. That's what they say.
Andy, you're right to stick around a little bit longer.
Absolutely.
Right, Andy's also been sticking around, but this is I'm Noel Gallagher for you now. High Flying Birds and Holy Mountain on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, Holy Mountain on Radio X. You're listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart, and I'm joined by a brilliant political satirist, Andy Zoltzman, our second of this year, after Matt Ford, who you've worked with quite a lot.
Yes, yeah, I work on his Unspun show on Dave that's coming back in the new year.
Are you going to be on that as well, the new series?
Yes, talking nonsense at a desk, generally.
Okay, can you tell me about Matt Ford's political career? Can you give us any kind of insight into his life in the Labour Party?
I know he was pretty committed to the Labour Party for a while, and then they had a bit of a falling out, I think. I don't know exactly what caused it. But he's he was a fully paid up Blairite in the day. I think most political comedians, I've never sort of been involved in any party, but Fordy was he was right in there. I mean, he should be Prime Minister by now.
He should be. Yeah. He told us a great story about being at Checkers, very drunk, and tapping Tony Blair on the chest, poking him in the chest, saying, "You're a legend."
Yeah.
Is there anybody in 2017 that you would like to tell to get tea? Because this is something that we've been doing regularly on the show. We've been asking the listeners if they're frustrated by anything, and if they want to give us to give the Scottish marching orders and say,
"Get tea!"
Is there anybody, Andy Zaltzman, you'd like to tell to get tea this year?
Oh, I mean, it's very hard to narrow it down from the cavalcade of lunatics that have been parading across global news. I'm going to go with Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
I mean, the problem is he's already in North Korea. There's no way he can get tea from there. He's already gone tea from there. So, but I think he's a silly little man that should grow up, frankly. I've had enough of him.
Kim Jong-un?
Get tea!
He's great material for you, hasn't he, this year,
Well,
Kim Jong-un?
Yeah, so it's the kind of material you'd rather not have. The whole kind of nuclear brinkmanship shtick, I think, was probably done quite enough in the 1960s. We should move on, really. Yeah.
Has it been a good year for you as a political satirist, though? Because it feels like there's an awful lot of material there, but everybody focuses on the same thing. But from what I gather from your show, you focus on stuff that goes really off the beaten path as well.
Well, yeah, I guess try and get a balance. I mean, obviously, you know, issues like Trump and Brexit are in the forefront of people's minds, and therefore a lot of comedians are covering them, and that's inevitable. You know, kind of, I guess, the two biggest stories affecting us at the moment. But then the challenge comes to try and find an original way of addressing that, given that there are approximately 7 billion people doing jokes about Trump at the moment. So to try and find an original angle. I think I've done it in my show in Soho. I think I've managed to do something that no one has done with Trump before.
Can you give us a clue to it?
Well, without wishing to give too much, I print out his brain on a 3D printer and then attempt to turn him into a cricket fan. And I don't think anyone else has done that yet.
I think you found your own little niche there.
I found my niche.
Yeah, I found your niche. Yeah. In the past, in your shows, I know you've asked the audience to suggest ideas that you can pick apart during the show. Have you done that this time round?
Not in the Soho show, but I'm doing the Satirist for Hire show again on my UK tour from mid-January to early March. So yeah, that's a show where people email me in advance of the topics they want me to talk about, and I sort of build the show around that. So it's different every time.
Does that lead to some fairly unusual heckling? Because imagine if somebody thought you had handled their question in the wrong way, they might be quite...
Yes, well, it's quite a conversational show, and I take my audience to task sometimes for the things they've requested. A lot of it is, can you take the mickey out of my friend? It's his birthday. And ranges from massive global issues to people complaining about referees in football matches and wrong type of jam at a hotel. So it's kind of the full gamut of human emotions.
Can I quickly put you on the spot and ask you to do that with our co-host on Radio X, Ellis James?
Yes.
Would you like to take him apart for us? We can play it back regularly too.
Well, as a human being?
Yes.
He seems like a very nice human being.
He's a lovely guy.
I can take him apart as a footballer, if you want. I mean, he flatters to deceive, to be honest. He's not really got a lot of end product. Tends to tire pretty early, usually 2 to 3 minutes into a game, after running around very enthusiastically. And, he puts on a lot of Welsh football kit, but sadly not turned them into Ryan Giggs.
We will come back to this, Andy Zaltzman. That's brilliant. That's going to live long with us.
Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. So every Monday night on The Evening Show, we have a classic album chat. Over the last 12 months, we've looked back at great albums here at Radio X, like Joshua Tree, Odelay by Beck, Is This It by Strokes. And if you want to hear any of those chats, just download The Evening Show podcast. It's completely free and available in all the usual places. Tonight, we're going to go back 21 years, which has made me feel incredibly old tonight. I always say this on a Monday night, but September 1996, Suede and Coming Up. What an album that was. If this album was a human being, it'd be getting the keys to the door of Vin. It's almost the same age as you, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I should say, producer Vin's here. He always likes to get involved in this. And you've been getting your geek on for Suede, haven't you?
I love this. This is incredible. I was always a big fan of the first two, of Suede and Dogman Star.
This was a bit, I was a bit late to this, to coming up, but it's brilliant.
Yeah, it really was. This is their third album, right? On Nude Records, produced by Ed Buller, who worked with Cortinas and Pulp as well. It was nominated, and quite rightly so, in 1997 for the Mercury Prize. It went platinum. It was number one in the UK. 5 top 10 singles. Get on these. Trash, Beautiful Ones, Saturday Night, Lazy and Film Star. Plus songs on the album that we love as well, By the Sea, and I think both me and Vince's favourite, She. What a song.
She is amazing, yeah.
Amazing song. So the first Suede album after the departure of Bernard Butler. He was replaced by Richard Oakes and keyboard player Neil Codling. And I didn't quite realise at the time that Dogman Star had flopped, Finn. It was a bit of a disaster, wasn't it?
Bad reviews. It's become like a bit of a cult record, hasn't it? It's everyone's favourite Suede album, but commercially, yeah, it didn't do that well.
So Brett Anderson had to have a bit of a rethink. So he decided to rewrite Suede sound, a bit like Damon Albarn rebelling against Britpop and Park Life. And at the time he said, I think the next album will be quite simple. I'd really like to write a straightforward pop album, just 10 hits. And it was written as a response to the monotony and the fatigue of touring. There was even a B-side called Have You Ever Been This Low. You can tell that there was a bit of misery, especially after bad reviews of Dogman Star. I didn't quite know about the influence of T-Rex as well, Vin. It was incredible stuff. So Ed Buller said what they did was copy his recording technique. Bongos, tambourine and Brett Anderson singing, and that's how all the songs started.
Yeah, it's exactly like how Mark Bolan used to write stuff. And you can see the sort of that camp, that fey, amazing sort of preening thing that that Mark Bolan had going on in Brett Anderson, can't you?
Yeah, and the producer, he did a clever thing as well, where he got involved with helping the arrangements, but didn't meddle in the engineering, which is often where bands can get a bit carried away, and things can go on for months and months and months. Film Star as well, Vin, that's a great tune, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I remember the first time I heard that, I was watching like MTV2 or VH1 or one of those channels, and this band came on, black and white video, playing live, and they looked disgusting, you know? They looked long hair and greasy and really, really messy, and really aggressive guitars, but this beautiful voice, this beautiful song, and it's just a pop song, just that chorus that just goes on and on and on and on.
I mentioned a few times on a Monday night as well about my next door neighbour. His uncle had a famous record shop in Scotland called Gold Rush Records in Perth, and he used to get all the artwork back to his house and put it up in his bedroom, and Suede always had incredible artwork.
So striking.
Which was the same on this as well, really cool band. So the singles were much more successful than Dogman Star, and the lyrical content concerns the band's sort of problems with the mid-90s, the hedonistic lifestyle they were leading, the celebrity-obsessed culture that was really kicking off with Laddism and everything that was going on. So Beautiful Ones and She are proper caricatures of the British yuppie celebrities and all the heroin chic models that were across the fashion magazines at the time. So the album really, it was simplistic. Pop direction was really praised and acknowledged at the time. A lot of great reviews. And I think the Telegraph at the time had said that it was compared to Ziggy Stardust, which is, talk about high praise.
Well, it's glam, isn't it?
Doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah,
and Brett Anderson, you can understand the similarities that were being drawn there. And how about this for a brilliant, brilliant line? Caroline Sullivan from The Guardian called the songs howl-alongs. Not sing-alongs, howl-alongs. We know what she's getting at. And we're going to give you a chance to do that right now on Classic Albums. Two songs from Coming Up by Suede from 1996, back to back. I've got Film Star and Beautiful Ones. Enjoy.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week. Next.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic Album of the Week. X.
Bit of classic album chat for you on Radio X tonight. That was Suede and Coming Up. What an album. Two songs for you there. Film Star was first. That was their fifth single, hit number 9. And the single CD included live tracks featuring Neil Tennant of the Pet Shop Boys, which I didn't know actually. And that was Beautiful Ones. Their second single got to number 8. And one of the first guitar riffs written by new guitarist Richard Oakes. And he was the new band member at the time, right? So he was issued with the challenge by the rest of the band to stay at home and write a hit single while they went out and had a wild one. Proper tear up. So the song was originally titled Dead Leg, because Osman in the band, who's Richard Osman's brother, he threatened to give Oakes a dead leg if he was unable to write a top 10 single. So,
wow.
Bit of bullying there.
Pressure, man.
Did you know about that?
No. That was new to me.
Fantastic little story. He was only 17 when he joined the band, right? And he beat 500 other applicants for the role. And instead of applying for the job like everyone else, what he did was auditioned on the strength of an impromptu demo tape that he sent to the Suede fan club. Clever boy. He went a different way and he found fame. Now, it isn't all great news about this band. And this album, there was a very dodgy cover. Here's Kim Wilde. Words you never thought you'd hear me say. Here's Kim Wilde on Radio X. Fair enough, I've had enough of that already.
You don't like it?
I'm not having it. Kim Wilde, right, for anybody too young to remember, she wrote a brilliant song called All the Kids in America. So she wasn't all bad, but that, I'm not having that cover, Vin. I'm not having it. Not one of the best covers we've ever heard. In the background right now, you can hear Trash, the first single. It charted at number 3. Brett Anderson's described it as the soundtrack to his life. It's about believing in the romance of the everyday. It's a nice little quote for life, isn't it? A different version of the song appears on the group's 2003 compilation album, Singles, where the vocals were re-recorded along with an alternative ending. The first Suede album to have a big impact in the US as well, coming up, and it made the band superstars in Europe, Canada and Asia.
Radio X,
the Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Catfish and the Bottlemen are playing two huge open air shows on home soil next year. They're playing Spiller's Wharf in Newcastle, which is a new venue on me. That's on May the 25th, and it's part of This Is Tomorrow Festival. And then they've got a huge homecoming show lined up in Wales at Cardiff Castle with special guests on Sunday the 29th of July. Seen a few gigs there over the years. It's a brilliant venue. There are some massive gigs in Cardiff next year. Another band playing to a home crowd, the Stereophonics. They've booked the Cardiff City Stadium in June. That will be some gig. Raucous, I'd imagine. Now, last month, we had the chance to go down and spend the night with the boys at Cardiff University. So I spoke to Kelly Jones and the rest of the band just after soundcheck and asked them how they get warmed up for shows.
Can I talk a little bit about the pre-gig ritual? Because I noticed there's a really brilliant little music room backstage there with some lovely kit in there. Is that, do you use it properly? I mean, and are you quite disciplined about it? Or do you think the more experienced you are, do you think I can just wing it?
We use it though, do we?
What we do is, it's like James Brown. A band,
tan gloves.
No. We play a lot of blues music. We warm ourselves up, and then James comes in about the. We use it a lot.
Do you remember that we were in Twickenham, weren't we, years ago, and we were lucky enough to get backstage where the Stones were playing, and they were literally like set up in front of us like that. But Jagger wasn't singing; he was the backing singer, Bernard. But it was like Keith and Charlie and Ronnie Wood, and they were just like there doing their warm up set. Before you walk on stage, to be able to do a little gig before you go on stage, because you're in the same mindset as the people out there then. Yeah. So, yeah, we do have a knockabout. It's good. None of us know the same songs, but we have a knockabout.
He says knockabout. You should have seen that music room. Some beautiful, beautiful instruments set up for them to get warmed up before they went on stage. And it was worth it. It was a great gig.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
You're listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart, and I'm joined by Andy Zaltzman, a brilliant political satirist and comedian.
Hello.
Is that the right word? And also statistician.
Yes. Yes, I'm a kind of, semi-professional cricket statistician as well. That's an unusual combination of jobs, I guess.
Well, this is the thing, I'd say you're a professional statistician.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, so I do it for Test Match Special on the BBC and Crick Info online. So, yeah, I spend far too much of my time sitting in a darkened shed on my own looking up cricket stats. Rock and roll. The glamour of showbiz. Some people get drunk and throw TVs out of hotel windows. I look up stats about 1950s cricket.
You know what, Felix from Maccabees? Yes, quite a huge cricket fan. Yeah, yeah. He comes in here all the time and talks about cricket.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to talk about your Soho run as well. So that finishes on the 6th of January.
Yes.
How many shows are you doing over Christmas, though? Do you work all the way through?
So I'm going up to the 23rd, then from the 28th to the 30th, and then from the 2nd to the 6th.
Excellent.
Of January. So, yeah, a few days off to recharge and meet Santa Claus, hopefully. Yeah.
And tickets are available as well.
Yes, tickets are very much available. Yes, slightly too available on some days. So, yeah, bringing your family in. It's the ideal Christmas present.
Yes.
What greater Christmas present could you possibly give to someone than to see me talking about the year?
I'm going to take you back a little bit to this you arrange a comedians football game, which is quite notorious in London. Who are, if you had to pick out some of the best players, you know, if we're doing a dream team or fantasy football, who would be the star comedians in your football team?
Well, there's a chap called Matt Ralph who's in the sketch team, Late Night Gimp Fight. He's a terrific player. He bosses the midfield. I mean, he's not the most mobile. Lovely touch, though. Yeah. Russell Howard, you know, arguably doesn't pass the ball quite as much as would be ideal to a footballer. But he's got some skills. There's quite a few good players. The younger ones run around too much.
Yeah.
I prefer the old guard who sit in the middle of the field and just shout abuse at people. That's what, what football's about.
What's been the crowning glory of that football team? Have you ever played in those sort of celebrity soccer six matches and things like that? Have you ever picked up any silverware?
No, we just play against each other on a Tuesday. So I mean, I guess there's silverware every week for whoever happens to win. So crowning glories, we've had... I broke my arm in comedians football. Daniel Kitson broke my arm in comedians football, so that's a badge of honour.
Yeah.
I guess. But
imagine afterwards, the drinks afterwards, there'd been quite a good bit of material around that.
Yes, I sat in the hospital. It was. But no, it's. I think, you know, a lot of comedians now arrange their touring schedule to make sure that they're free on Tuesday afternoons. Right way to prioritise things.
Great responsibilities.
Yeah.
Now, Andy, I ask all the guests who come in about Slash Gordon. It's a terribly lowbrow book I'm writing about awkward encounters in the bathroom with famous people and how you fill that terrible small talk. And I presume during this football match you might have found yourself having a conversation with one of your fellow comedians, but is there anybody else you bumped into?
In a toilet?
Yes, and had a weird conversation with.
Yeah, I can't think of that. I did once. I did urinate next to Clive Lloyd, the former West Indian cricket captain, who is an imposingly large man. He's about 6'5" and extremely wide, strong man. I mean, even now, he's sort of retired 30-odd years ago. But I don't think there was a great deal of witty repartee flying backwards and forwards between us.
It's maybe not a good time to introduce yourself as a statistician, is it?
No. I love the way your team played in the 1980s. let's just finish up, shall we?
Do you have one statistic you can leave us with?
What I do know is that the quantity of your hangover, the size of your Christmas hangover, is in direct proportion to the amount of alcohol you drink on Christmas Day. So there's a stat to bear in mind.
That is a phenomenal stat. Yep. Andy, thank you very much for coming in. All the best for the show at Soho. It's on until the 6th on Dean Street.
Yes.
How do you get them?
Online, generally. So the Soho Theatre website, or my website, andysultimate.co.uk. It's also got my UK tour dates from mid-January.
We should give your podcast a push as well, which is doing incredibly well. Statistics true. You're a statistician. I'm told 250,000 downloads of each episode and 13 million in a year.
Roughly that, I think. I don't know the current figures. Yeah, it's the Bugle podcast, and it's me. I've been going. We just had our 10th anniversary, so I did it for 8 years with John Oliver, who sadly had to retire from Bugle.
Done all right, isn't he?
He doesn't have time because he's his career's gone down the screen. He's had to get a regular 9-to-5 job. So I now have a rotating cast of guest co-hosts from around the world, and it's been going well.
Excellent stuff, Andy. Thank you so much for coming in. I know you're a busy man. A lot going on at Christmas, and best luck with the show tonight.
Thank you very much.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is Radio X and I'm Gordon Smart playing you Placebo on 5 to 10. Before that, I played the spine-tingling Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley. John Gill tweeted us to say, easily the best version of Hallelujah. Thanks for playing it. No problem at all, John. Our pleasure. Now, it's coming to the end of the evening show, which means it's story time, so get yourself comfortable. Producer Vin, let's have some appropriate music, please. Perfect. I just played you a bit of Placebo on the evening show, and it reminded me of one of the weirdest nights out I've ever had. In 2003, I went to Cannes in the south of France when I worked in newspapers to cover a big awards ceremony. Now, my French is a bit ropey, so I did what all Scots do abroad and hunted out a Scottish bar. But then again, I couldn't find one, so I found an Irish bar. So I got in, ordered a pint of Guinness, and found myself sitting next to Brian Molko, the frontman from Placebo, who was due to be playing at the ceremony later that night. 6 pints later, he left to perform at the show. I watched it from the pub and was amazed by how banjoed he was on stage. Could barely hold it together. Any road up, I met him and the band afterwards and had the most unusual pub crawl on the Côte d'Azur you could imagine. The night ended in a really dodgy nightclub and the sight of Brian Molko trying to break dance badly. Turns out leather jackets don't slip across the dance floor in a way you might hope. Anyway, that was your story time for tonight.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart and we will be back with another edition in 2018.
Radio X.